Hello and welcome to October's Pal Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about spooky anime. I'm your host, Ghoulish Ace, and joining me are Vampiric Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Ghostly Gorgas.
We are the Japanese Goblin, Akaoki Romo Oizu and more.
Okay, Goblin Ghost.
It's a Goblin Ghost.
That works. It's the month of Halloween, so we're looking at, as I said, spooky anime. In today's episode, we're talking about Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, aka Biohazard Infinite Darkness, an OVA from 2021. I chose this one because it's October, so we're covering horror-themed shows. Since there's a bi-weekly podcast, we only get to do a couple of these, so I figured we'll start off with the big one. It was produced by TMS Entertainment, the studio behind Monster Rancher, Sonic X, and more recently, Dr. Stone. Resident Evil Infinite Darkness has a MyAnimeList score of 6.21. Obviously, this is based on the Resident Evil series by Capcom, survival horror franchise that's been going since the original PlayStation. I don't need to explain this whole thing to you. My synopsis for Resident Evil Infinite Darkness. In the distant past of the year 2000, in the country of Pendamstan, a squad of US troops think that they know best and go off mission, getting killed by a local militia before reviving as zombies. 6 years later, Claire Redfield is in the country working with relief workers. And Arthur?
Virus attack in the White House might seem to be more connected to a civil war in Pendamstan than Leon and his crew anticipated.
Okay, and Gozgoz?
After what feels like 10 years of the franchise taking itself too seriously, it's Resident Evil back to schlock. Zombies appear in the White House, and it is up to our charismatic heroes to survive, solve the mystery, and fight off BOWs.
Well done, I didn't actually mention the White House. I think more of the OVA takes place in the White House than Pendamstan. Now I think about it. But anyway, we open on an army strike force that's getting attacked by local militia in the non-white country of Pendamstan. The Americans all die, but then become zombies. It's shot so that there's clearly stuff that we didn't see, so a lot is inferred at this point. There's a time skip that takes us to 2006, the present day, where Claire Redfield is talking to a mute child. The child hands over pictures they created showing zombies attacking people. Now, this being Claire Redfield, obviously she knows what a zombie is, whereas the local people might not be aware. We cut from there to the White House in America, where someone is complaining about Leon Kennedy being also brought in, feeling that he's unqualified and getting preferential treatment for the events of Resident Evil 4. For those of you who didn't play it, Leon Kennedy saves the president's daughter. Spoilers. Leon is arriving in a helicopter as the others are brought to the president's Oval Office for a mission briefing. Apparently a closed network military server had been compromised inside the White House, and the four had been assembled to apprehend the person responsible. Suddenly the power goes out. Well, the power on the lights and cameras, but not the security monitors. They're on, just not showing anything. A couple of people go to investigate. The press secretary is found obviously bitten by a zombie and quickly turns into a zombie before Leon arrives and shoots it in the head. Everyone seems perfectly fine with zombies being in the White House as they get the president to his bunker. And once the president's safe, Leon, Shen, Mei, and Jason go to deal with the infestation. Do either of you have anything to say about their investigation of the infestation?
First of all, I was very confused about how they turned on the lights, like, very quickly. That's the first time I ever see that done. Is there a particular reason they do that?
Like, with the flashlight?
Yeah, like, they turn it on and then off immediately. I've never seen that done. It just felt kind of counterproductive to me.
I think it might be to, like, quickly take a look and not be... Because if you would see a flashlight, you would instantly know, oh, there is a person there, I'm gonna shoot them. Or I'm gonna go for them. Something. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's true. If it's moving around in a random pattern like they were doing, then it's harder to get a fix on exactly where someone is to shoot them.
I see. I was just really confused because I didn't know if it was something Resident Evil, because I've only really played a few of the games, and mostly the older ones. So I was like, I don't know if that's just something I'm like, maybe I'm just stupid. I mean, like, I am, for the record.
Yeah, you're supposed to keep going into the options to into your inventory to turn on and off your flashlight.
No, better. You just increase the gamma so you never have to.
The next day, Claire Redfield arrives at the White House and is for some reason not turned away by security, as she has an appointment with the press secretary, who, as I mentioned, got turned into a zombie and killed. I was really confused why they were letting anyone in, because they were actively zipping up body bags full of zombie corpses and taking them away.
Wait, that's a good point. I didn't even notice.
Like, shut down the entire White House grounds for... Just make up a reason. I'm sure you can.
Just imagine walking into the White House and being like, hey, Mr. President, and you just see blood splattered everywhere. I hadn't realized how messed up that would be.
She spots Leon on his way out, and they have a quick chat before Leon and friends, that's the aforementioned Jason and Shenmei, gets taken to a submarine headed for a bio-research facility. Except Leon isn't allowed to know anything about the mission. Like, Jason just says it's all classified. How long do we have? Classified. What's our objective? Classified. Like, how good of an operative can he be if he has literally no information?
I really liked Leon's attitude as well. He was like, classified. Yeah, right. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, he probably heard that before.
Yeah, he reloaded a save. And he's just skip, skip, skip. We get a flashback to the zombie attack in 2000 to end episode 1. The second episode starts with Jason being woken from a dream by Leon. And then after the title card, we see Claire writing about what happened in, I assume writing, in Penamstan in 2000, and how relief efforts were seen as hostile action, which is why the helicopter was shot down and they were all, you know, shot and killed. She finds out that the Mad Dogs unit, which Jason was part of, wasn't wiped out like we'd been led to believe, though her research on sites that don't exist show a number of members shot themselves sometime later. I actually did look up these URLs, and no, they were dead sites or just placeholders.
Damn, I love it when they actually implement that you can go into a website or something.
Yeah, same. And it's not like this is from the 90s and the website's now gone. This is from last year.
Yeah, but the film took place in 2006. Do you expect the sites to stay up for so long?
Yes. We have a flashback to the Mad Dogs in 2000, reusing footage we saw already, before they escape with a member from the downed helicopter, who has no arms and legs. Sometime later, they're trying to radio for evac, and then suddenly there's a time skip to a military tent where the men are talking about those things. Shenmei walks into the tent and almost gets shot, allowing us to discover that she was aware of zombies firsthand before the White House, where she, you know, killed loads of zombies.
At this point is exactly when I looked at her and I was like, well, I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah, spoilers. Potential spoilers.
Potential spoilers. I was just really nervous, but I didn't know who to trust throughout the entire thing. I just, you know, I was like, Leon is good because I know he's like the protagonist of some of the early games. And everyone else, like at first at the game, when the show started, I was like, oh, Jason? Yeah, that's Chris Redfield. And you can't convince me otherwise.
Back to the present day, the submarine, well, we see a creature attack a crewman or go to attack a crewman while Jason's explaining his trauma to Leon. Leon that goes on to explain that his perpetual lateness is why he's alive after the events of Resident Evil 2. Because he was late to his first day as a police officer, he was late to the White House.
Was he?
Yeah, right at the start they're complaining, oh, I can't believe that this guy is in this team and late.
Oh, I missed that. Was he late on the submarine?
I expected him to be.
Heroes never arrive on time, you know.
Suddenly the sub lurches and the two race off to find out what's going on. The crew in the control room are all dead, and as we cut to Shenmei, she's told that the engine room can't be reached. Jason joins her in whatever room they're in, and then suddenly Shenmei and Jason start murdering the crewmen. We cut over to Leon, who's inspecting a pile of bodies, when suddenly a rat bursts out of the abdomen and attacks him. Turns out the rat is a bioweapon, and it's not the only one. The sub's self-destruct warning goes off, and everything turns red, in time to let dozens of infected rats get the drop on Leon. Get it? Because they dropped from the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. How did they stay on the ceiling? Were they spider rats?
Well, see, there's this thing called dramatic effect, and that's what they were using to stick there.
Kind of like how Leon uses this thing called plot armor to survive the scene.
The rats went to the film school.
Yes. That's where they were infected and became bioweapons, at film school. Leon electrocutes them and manages to find his way to the escape pod where Shenmei and Jason were waiting, and the only survivors. The escape pod escapes, I mean, obviously, as the submarine explodes. Later in Shanghai, they get a bunch of weapons out at a safe house before Leon calls them out on killing the crew. Jason admits that he and Shenmei may have a different mission. They want to find proof of what the US government been doing. So Leon shoots Jason in the heart and Shenmei legs it, ending the second episode.
Very poetic death for Jason there.
Yep, shot right in the chest. We see the...
Shot through the heart.
Shot through the heart.
And you're to blame. You give love.
I was hoping you would say.
Oh.
You've been hanging out with the editor-in-chief too much. The third episode opens on Claire approaching a spooky house at night. She breaks in because the door isn't shut properly, and we find out it's the house from Jason's dream at the start of the previous episode, where his fellow mad dog had shot himself with a shotgun.
Can we... Sorry, I have to correct you here. It's not mad dog. In one of the pictures, it's too close, so we have to call him a dog.
Not call him a dog.
Sorry, continue.
We cut to...
Goddamn, in backwards.
God damn it. We cut to Shenmei entering a building, followed closely by Leon, who she doesn't realize is directly behind her. Leon uses force on others to get Shenmei to admit what she's up to. Turns out it's exactly what Jason said.
Wait, he uses force or force?
He uses force, not the force. So she's at this house to get evidence of the cover-up. And so we get a flashback to Shenmei walking in on the mad dogs in the tent in the year 2000. It turns out that the mad dogs rescued Jun Si, Shenmei's brother, and he was the zombie that was in a body bag that she saw. This episode had flashbacks all over the place, cutting from present day to flashback to someone else's flashback. So we cut to Claire still at the house where she finds a letter hidden in a picture frame.
To clarify, that wasn't a flashback, right?
Flashing back once more to 2000, we find out that the mad dogs were all bitten when they were attacked by zombies before they could be rescued. We don't see how they were rescued. Jun Si tells them to inject an inhibitor that's in his pack before they turn into zombies, and then off screen he turns into a zombie. Back to Claire at the house. She's called the police and appears to have read that flashback in the letter she found. There's an immediate flashback to the tent in 2000 before returning to Shenmei finishing her explanation of the flashback. They brought Jun Si back to Shanghai, and their grandfather had been trying to cure him all this time, to no effect. They had managed to locate a chip injected in Jun Si that had a record of everything that he'd done, everyone who'd given him orders, so that's the proof they wanted to present to the public. Suddenly, the house is rocked by explosions, and Leon and Shenmei escape. We don't see what caused the explosions, and once the house is charred rubble, they return to it for some reason. They have a quick chat and talk about Jason as if he's still alive, despite us last seeing him unmoving with a gunshot wound in the chest. And Leon asks where Jason is.
Honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you. We all knew that was just a miracle juice that Ethan Winters pours over his.
From there, we cut back to Claire in her motel room, where she's tased by men in black, ending the episode.
Here comes the man. I took the bait.
By the men in black? Wait, I didn't notice Will Smith was in this movie. I mean, OVA.
Next episode, we open on the White House, where the president is taken away to Ems Air Base for a press conference, blaming China for the attacks and signing a treaty with Padamstan. We cut to Claire, who's tied to a chair by Senator Wilson, the man who convinced the president to declare China a hostile power, and who I haven't mentioned in this synopsis because I didn't think he'd be important.
That was impressive rhyming, by the way. Claire, chair, declare. I like that.
The senator explains his plan in detail, how the US has developed bioweapons and is going to deploy them in Padamstan to use against China, because it seems he's racist against Chinese.
Isn't everyone involving the United States racist against China?
I mean,
it feels like it's always the same enemy here, you know?
No, in the 90s it was Russia.
That's a fair point. I retract my previous statement.
He says that his inhibitor drug means that he can control the bioweapons. And then Jason interrupts Wilson, turns into a tyrant zombie type thing, because that's the exact moment when the inhibitor ran out and he didn't turn into a normal zombie. He's one of those, you know, boss zombies. This turning manages to set off a failsafe, which begins to fill the facility with acid and starts dumping the bioweapons into it. I don't think I mentioned that there's bioweapons in these, like, stasis booth container things.
By bioweapons, we mean Captain America.
And I want to mention they have no junk.
They don't seem to have pencils there.
Yeah, they all look like Ken dolls.
The most important fact.
I think that was to avoid unexpected nudity on this podcast.
Oh,
finally,
thank you, Capcom.
Oh my God, paying attention. Yeah.
Jason acts like the Hulk and heads for the surface, while Leon and Shenmei try to stop him. Oh, I forgot to mention, Jason takes a bite out of the senator and the senator runs away. Jason kills Shenmei and almost manages to kill Leon. Claire, still tied to the chair, declaring that she needs help. Sorry. She barely manages to avoid the acid and is saved by Leon. Up above, because this facility is below the airbase, the president is signing a treaty with Padamstan. Jason wants to break through to the surface and show everyone what fear is.
Oh my God, you forgot to mention the overused quote. He says that so many times. I think I learned it by memory and it's going to be stuck.
Error, fear, psychomantis.
Jason is jumping up towards the surface while Leon decides to just take the elevator.
That's like, I told my wife here, I was like, ah, yes, and forget to use the elevator. It would have been really easy for Jason to just kill Leon there, to be honest with you.
Oh, it would have been easy for Jason to have killed Leon in lots of places, except for that plot armor.
Ah, the plot armor.
Leon finds a bazooka, because this is towards the end of the game, and blows away the thing that Jason was standing on. In retaliation, Jason throws a bridge at Leon.
Yeah, that's what I do to him.
Just your typical warfare.
They get close to the surface, and Leon manages to blow off Jason's arm with a sniper rifle from close range. Rather than killing him, Jason lets Leon live. So Leon pulls a lever, dropping the platform they're on into the acid, killing Jason. But Leon manages to grab hold of a chain and somehow make his way to ground level. And then while talking to Jason's corpse, Jason reveals, I'm actually still alive and I'm going to talk at you until he finally actually does die. And you're going to show them what fear is and tell them, oh God.
Terror is born from fear of being surrounded by fear. It's like, oh no, Jason, not again. He's just melting. Fear. Fear is how many times he said that. Oh my God.
The president leaves, and we see Senator Wilson desperate to inject himself with the inhibitor, which is given to him in a case from a company called Tricell, which I've not heard of in the Resident Evil franchise before, and I thought that it would be Umbrella Corporation.
It's basically Umbrella.
Me too.
Fair enough.
Because Umbrella had to be dissolved, so they used the name Tricell to come back.
Right. Leon meets up with Claire and refuses to give her the chip for reasons he won't share. And that's the end. Leon wanders off towards the White House and Claire just leaves. So, was this a good adaptation?
Let's see. Zombies, check. Mutants that should have been zombies but are really just zombies or mutants, I don't know anymore, check. Shooting and grenade launchers and stuff like that, check. I think so, yeah.
Goes, any counter arguments?
No, I think it was perfect, like had all the elements that the games had. Like, even when they were in China and they went to the mansion, that felt like the castle part. Like, the doors opened and the sound that they made was like, oh, they're entering a castle. It's a high-tech castle that always is in those games. Well, not always, but it's important.
Yeah, with my limited knowledge of the Resident Evil series, I thought it did the job pretty well.
I really liked that it helped you introduce to the characters and gave you enough information to really know, even if you didn't know much about it.
And I like that they even had little... I mean, the worry is, because those characters were used so many times, is that they're not gonna change during the course, but they had little arcs, all of them.
Well, I'll ask the question I always ask. Was this a spooks up, scares down, or a meh?
This was a spooks up for me.
Which one is the good one?
spooks up.
Oh, the spooks up then.
Yeah, I give it a spooks up as well. Because, you know, Halloween episodes, so we have to spookify the show somewhere.
We have to spookify everything.
Yeah, Japanese goblin.
And, well, do you guys think that this deserves its My Anime List score, which was 6.21?
I thought it was kind of low, to be honest.
Me too.
I quite enjoyed it. Like, 6.21 seems so low, especially with so many bad game adaptations that there are out there. This was actually one of the better ones.
Yeah, I saw some quotes from reviews about it, that the plot is cliche, that it's like uneven, but I didn't feel like it. And yeah, the plot is kind of cliche, because that's the point.
Yeah, I actually wrote down that the plot is a bit by the numbers, but I really like the animation and how fluid it was. I like the monster design, because the Jason bioweapon wasn't, I don't think, from one of the games. And the rats, I don't think I've ever seen those.
Yeah, the rats were cool.
So I thought a 7 at the least.
Not only that, I did like, that's one point that I forgot to make. The animation feels a lot kind of like a very nice mix between video game and anime, because it doesn't really look like a traditional anime, but it's not really, like, it's very realistic and fluent as opposed. Like, if you showed me some of the scenes, I might actually believe you for a second that it's real life. So I really like this animation. I think a 6.21 is really low for it. I'd give it like a 7.5 at least.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There were a couple of scenes where I would have believed that it was a mix of real stuff and animation.
When they showed, like, the news clippings with, like, photos that had that quality, like they were in a newspaper, those, you could mistake those for the real thing, I think. Even though, yeah, they were computer-generated images.
Yeah, the animation was actually really solid. I wouldn't say it's the prettiest one we've seen on these animes we've watched lately, but it definitely goes up there as one of the more unique ones, especially like the most video game of the ones we've seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool moments, I think.
So I take it you both think the animation quality was better than Galarian's Rion?
Yes.
No, I mean...
I mean, Galarians were acceptable for the time it was made, you know? So So, like, I can't really fault it myself, because I get it. But, yeah, this... I feel like this Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, it will probably hold up in the future. Because, again, it's that... It's not trying to be completely, like, state-of-the-art CGI. It's, like, a mix.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because it's not trying to be very high quality, but it's kind of going for its own animation style. It will stand out and it won't feel like it was surpassed anytime soon. How about you, Ace? Did you like this one more than Galarian's Ring?
Yeah.
It will definitely like hold up more than Galarian's.
Yeah, can't argue that.
Galarian's was outdated the month it came out.
Oh. Wow, could you? Poor Galarian's.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You find more from us on GameGrim.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, scream on.